Man, today we're continuing in this idea in the series of the word with, and it means walking with Jesus, imitating Jesus together as family. And today we're in the H, and we're here for our community. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to lay out who we are as a church so that we can be united in the purpose and we can go forward in that. And then, like, as we say these things and we talk about these things and you're like, man, that's not what I'm about. I don't know. Then it's like, hey, awesome. At least we told you now and not 20 years later. And you're like, man, I wasted a lot of time here. Like, we want to just be upfront with who we are and where we feel like the Lord has called us. There are thousands of churches that you could go to, and they all have their own unique callings. And we love the body of Christ. We love each individual church. And so we're just trying to tell you who we are and what we feel like the Lord has for us. And we're going to be really laser focused on what he has. And so if you're new here, I just want to welcome you. And sometimes Lauren, my wife, will tell me, she's like, quit trying to be funny. Just get up there and preach. And I'm like, babe, I'm not trying. I just am, all right? So, I'm really not trying. It's just what I do. But anyway, I just want to just welcome you guys here. There will be some, lighthearted commentary throughout. But, man, but we are serious about the word, and we're serious about being transformed. So don't confuse my lightheartedness by just being lax with the gospel. No, we are all in on this thing. Would you just open up your hands? Well, you get ready to receive the word. You're like, hey, tell me a little bit more before I open my hands, right? We're not passing the offering plate, don't worry. Holy Spirit, would you come here today? We want to partake of everything that you have for us. Would you teach us? Would you lead us and guide us into all truth and all understanding? Would you soften our heart to receive this message today? All the walls that we've put up to keep you out are to protect parts of our lives that are sensitive and fragile. We take those down right now, and we want to receive all that you have. We want to encounter you through your word today, and we want to be transformed into your likeness. Amen. Amen. So we're in this idea that we're here for this community, here for our community. And really, it starts off with this idea. I want to talk about, like, the power of scent, of a smell, a fragrance, an aroma. And it's strange because you can walk into a room and immediately, before you see anything or before anyone says a word, you can know a lot about that space. If you walk into a coffee shop and that coffee's brewing, you're like, man, this is it. It's just that smell. Or there's cookies. My wife is baking cookies quite a bit right now. Man, it makes it hard to stick to what the Lord's called me to do eating-wise. But, man, you walk in from work and you're like, oh, man, that is it. Or maybe you sit around a campfire and you get that smell. And, like, you can tell, like, when someone's been around a campfire and you're like, hey, you need to go take a shower, man. Right? Change your clothes. We can tell. Or you walk into Allsup's and they got that burrito under that fluorescent light that's just keeping it warm. You're like, ah, thank you, Jesus. Man. In fact, scientists will tell you that your sense of smell is directly tied to the limbic system, and that's the part of your brain that processes memory and emotion. That's why a single scent, a single smell can take you right back tens of years. Like, it'll take you right back. I remember, is Miss Janie in here? Or she might be serving in the kids. Oh, Miss Janie, maybe like 2 months ago, she had all these kids around her and she was passing out candy. And you know the candy, I think it comes in like a foil wrapper, and it's like maybe like a watermelon. Strawberry, yeah, I don't know my fruits well, right? But it's in like a foil wrapper and it's green and got their little red. And I can remember, like, just the kids had that candy. I went and stood in line. I was like, all right, Miss Janie. My granny used to have those. And like instantly you put it in your mouth and that smell, it takes you right back to when I was 10 years old sitting in my granny's living room listening to her. right? Because it's connected to the part of the brain that processes your memory, your emotion. And so it takes you right back. Scent is powerful. But what's interesting is it also spreads, that you don't have to force it. You don't have to work at it. If something has a strong aroma, it just naturally fills the space. If somebody walks through wearing a little bit too much perfume or cologne, which has happened every now and then, you can tell, like, you're like, oh yeah, there they are. They've been here. We can tell it's still just kind of lingering around. Scent, it leaves a trace and it affects the atmosphere. It changes the environment. But have you ever walked into a place and gone, man, something is off here, right? Instead of maybe that good smell, that the cookies and the coffee and that all sup burrito, you're going, man, something is off. I don't know what it is. I can't put my nose on it, but man, there something's off. This happened just a few weeks ago. They were leaving. This is a story about two ladies, not in our church. And they were leaving, just so that I'm not throwing anyone under the bus, you know. Like, they were leaving a church event, and my friend was telling me the story, and she said that the lady that she gave a ride home to was really nervous that she didn't get to take a shower and she wasn't getting to smell her best coming from this church event. And so she was really nervous about it. And she told my friend, and she was like, hey, I'm sorry if I don't smell great. Like, I just didn't get. And she was like, it's fine. I don't smell anything. There's no nothing. Well, my friend, she had something to eat that didn't really agree with her. And so every few minutes they were on their way home, and every few minutes she would just, you know, nature would happen, and she would roll down her window to kind of help get that out. And she did that about four or five times on the ride home. And that her friend goes, you can just be honest with me. If I smell, just tell me. Don't lie to me. And she's like, no. And so then she had to confess, like, okay, well, really, here's what's been happening. You know, and so it was this moment where, like, scent, like, hey, you've all been there, right? Like, it just fills the atmosphere. If you want to know another story, you can just talk to me. I got a Honduran story that will kind of tell the same thing of an atmosphere, the scent just filling the atmosphere. And honestly, here, like, we all carry a scent. And I'm not just, at this point, just talking about a smell. I mean, you don't have to look at your husband or wife and go, yeah, he's talking to you. I'm not talking to anybody in particular about a smell. But, like, we all carry this aroma and this fragrance. That when we walk into our home, our workplace, our neighborhood, something that we have and we carry is always influencing it. And we don't normally think about our faith in this way, right? Like, you're like, man, no, you're right. I've never actually thought about it this way. We normally think of our faith in terms of beliefs or church attendance or tithing or volunteering. But turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and Paul. This is where we're getting the passage from, just so you know that I'm not making all of this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 will be in verses 14 through 16. It'll be up on the screen if you don't have your Bible. This is in the New Living Translation, but you're free to obviously use whatever translation you want. I encourage you to read multiple translations to get a whole idea of it. But 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16 says this. Paul says, but thank God, he has made us his captive and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? What I love right there is in that verse 14, it says that we are like a sweet perfume, or your version, your translation might say a sweet fragrance or aroma. And it means a pleasing scent, a fragrance that rises. It's the same word that is used in the Old Testament, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's the same word used there, the aroma, the fragrance, when it's talking about the sacrifices that were offered up. And it says that it's a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It says the same thing about our worship of him. It's that it's a sweet fragrance, a pleasing aroma. And this is what Paul's saying, is that this is our life. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Not just when we're in church, not just when we're singing songs, not when we're just here, but everywhere we go. Our lives are meant to carry this fragrance, this sweet aroma that rises up, that fills the atmosphere. If that's true, and it is because it's in the Word, then that begs us to ask that question of, then what does my life smell like? What scent occupies the room that I'm in? When people interact with us or when they experience our presence, what lingers? Is it peace? Is it grace? Is it love? Or is it complaining and whining? Bitterness, resentment, envy, pride, jealousy. Because the truth is that your life is doing more than you could even think. You're not just going through your routine. You're shaping environments. You're changing the atmosphere wherever you go. What we're going to look at today is that God wants to use our lives to spread the fragrance of Christ everywhere. We're here for our community, and that doesn't just mean right here, and we're here and people from the community can come, and we're here and we'll welcome them, we'll be great hosts, but they have to come here to us. No. Here for our community. And honestly, church has been doing that way for a long time. Come here. Come here, right? We even have a national Back to Church Sunday. I think it's like in August or something. I don't know. We don't do it. But lots of churches do, right? What is it saying? Get back into church. But our goal, our heart, and our vision is to get out of church. To quit asking people to come here. And I'm telling you to go out there. To be the church that we have been called to be. To wherever we go, we carry that sweet fragrance, that sweet aroma. Not like you have to come here to experience it. But just by me coming here, me being with the Lord, and then I can be sent out there, then that same thing that happens here can happen out there. It can happen in the line at Target. It can happen in line at the gas station. It can happen wherever you are, at work. It can happen at your lunch break. Whenever you're just going about your everyday mundane tasks, what we're called to do is to carry this aroma of Christ. That wherever we go, we carry the knowledge of who he is. And what I love, like when you look at this verse right here, in verse 14, he says that he made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Like for us, this vision might not necessarily come natural to us, but in this first century Roman culture, when he says that, that would bring to mind that after the Roman general would take over a place, a territory, he would lead the captives back. The general, right? He would be riding on the white horse. He would be coming in. There'd be a parade as he comes back to his town that he was victorious. There would be a parade and music and dancing. They would be celebrating the victory. They would be leading back the captives. They would be in chains. But what's interesting is that they would be brought back and they would be carrying a fragrance. And that's why when Paul says right here a little bit later in verse 16, he says, to some, to those who are dying, it's the smell of death, but to those who are living, it's the smell of life. And so this aroma, when these prisoners would be walking into the foreign land, their new home, the aroma to the victors, They're like, oh man, that smells like victory. But to those who were being held captive, it was the smell of death. And so when he talks about this triumphal procession, it's this idea that he leads us. He's leading us in victory. And yes, we are captive. Why? Because we're all his. Our lives are surrendered to him. And the fragrance that we have to those around us, we're like, man, you smell good today. But to the world out there, this looks like foolishness. To the world out there, they're like, what are you doing? I mean, you're going to go to a church that tells you to give 10% of your income? Like, you're going to voluntarily give away money in this economy? What? Or you're going to go to a place and try to find joy and happiness here? Like, you can find that in all these other things. Like, the aroma that we have to us, it's like, oh, man, you smell good today. But to the outside world, they're like, man, y'all stink. Y'all are crazy. What I love is he says that he has made us his captives and he continues to lead us. That means that we're not wandering about aimlessly. We've said it a couple of times today, that verse where he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. You were once orphans, but now you've been adopted. And so this idea that he takes us captive, he leads us in this triumphal procession, but what, we're not wandering about aimlessly. We're part of God's victory parade. Like, your life, like, I want to change your mind and your thoughts on this. Your life is part of God's victory parade. When he's processing us, I don't know, there's probably a better way to say that. When he's leading us in a procession, right? It is a parade. That aroma, we're celebrating together. Gracie, like, boom, you joined, you're in the aroma. He's leading us in a procession. I almost said he's processing us again, right? And now we're captive, but that aroma is so sweet. And Paul says that God uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. That word for knowledge right there, it's a deep understanding, an experiential knowledge, not just like a head smart thing. We're really, like, we're big on that thing, like encountering Jesus, being transformed by his presence. For far too long, church has been about information and not transformation. We thought if we could just tell you all the right things and give you all the right strategies and all the right things, then man, then you can just go and do it yourself. And the truth is, we are not about information at this place, which will be pretty obvious when you hear me speak, right? But it's about, we want to be transformed. So it comes from this knowledge of who Christ is. This knowledge is not just a head knowledge, but it transforms relationships. It transforms our behavior. What is awesome is this idea that God uses us as an instrument for his revelation. I mean, Tony, would you imagine yourself here like God using you? Hey, you don't have to answer. Your mom already answered. No, she said no. Could never have imagined that. Like, God chose us to use us as an instrument of his revelation. And how does he do it? He leads us in a procession where we spread the knowledge of who he is. Have you ever just been around somebody who embodies Christ? I mean, me, obviously, but others than just me. Have you been around people that just embody Christ? Like, the way that they react to situations, you're like, that is crazy. The way they respond to hate with love. When they walk into a room, it just fills it with peace. And you're like, man, that is it. That's what we're talking about today. We are to be those people. I think back to like that idea, that perfume. It's nothing that we have to hype up, that we have to manufacture. It just fills the room. There's the passage in John chapter 12. Yeah, I believe it's John chapter 12, where Mary anoints Jesus. Remember, she breaks open this bottle of perfume, and I love what it says in verse 3. It says, the perfume filled the room. And Judas, what was Judas's reaction? How dare you? Look at how much money that could have, right? So the knowledge of who Jesus is, it will smell like life, because Jesus was like, don't you dare. This is what it's about. And Judas was like, look at all the money we could have saved. Look at what we could have done with that money. You see that fragrance? It filled the room. And that's what we're called to do. And I love a little bit later on, it says that our lives are, in verse 15, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Just ordinary, everyday things. That's what we're called to do. It's not doing these massive, heroic events. Although those are nice. But it's just about how do you live your life of faithfulness and consistency. If you flip just a few books over, Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says it this way a little bit later on. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. This idea of a pleasing aroma, that we would, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. It's this idea of faithfulness, not perfection. Somebody's happy about not perfection, right? We should all be happy. Like, he's not asking for perfection. He's not asking for performance. He's just asking for consistency. A life that's constantly surrendered to him. And I like this because it's a Christ-like fragrance. It's the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Do you know what that means? That you get to carry it, but you don't have to manufacture it. It's not something you have to strive for. You have to earn it. You have to make all the right choices. You just get to carry it. There's those two responses. One is life and one is death. You know what else is good about that? We don't have to control the outcome. Our job is not to carry that fragrance and then make everybody go, hey, now it's, you're going to follow Jesus right now. We don't control it, but we're just conduits. We bring it into the room, and then they get to decide how they're going to respond to that. Have you ever done that to where someone's brought that into the room, the Christ-like fragrance, and maybe you weren't ready for it? And they've laid it all out on the table for you, and they go, okay, so now what are you going to do? And you're like, well, one, I don't like you, but two, all right, you're right. I'll make the good choice, right? Because, like, when we bring it into the room, we don't have to, like, make it happen. It's not on us. Our job is to carry it, to change the atmosphere, to change the environment, to carry that aroma of peace and grace and mercy. And then their job is to respond. so the pressure is off of you. Christianity, this thing is not just about Sundays or programs or events, but it's about a life that's lived every day in the presence of God. Your home, your office, your school, your neighborhood. That might be all the same for you homeschoolers, but your friendships, once again, same thing there. Even casual interactions in line at the store, all of it matters. Chloe, you're offended by that. I'm sorry. All of it matters. Where we go to school, where we work, the neighborhood that we live in, it matters. That aroma that we carry. You don't choose whether or not to carry a fragrance. You're carrying something. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 6. He said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're carrying something. If you don't know what it is, just look at your heart. Look at the trail that you're leaving behind you. Eventually, what's inside of you won't stay hidden any longer. It will leak out. It'll show up in your tone and your reaction and your relationships and how you treat people. Man, this is the truest statement here. It will show up in how you treat people when you're tired and stressed. Because it's easy when everything's good, right? When everything's going great, you're like, man, people are great. I love people. But as soon as you get tired and you get stressed, you're like, man, what's going on with you today? And they're like, hey, bro, it ain't me. You're tired. You're stressed. Go, you know, like Penny's been struggling with this time change. Penny, she's one of our daughters that's out of maybe 6 or 7. That's not a joke. Don't do that. I think she's 7 right now. We have 8, so it's hard to keep track all the time. But she's really struggling with the time change. And like at night, she's starting to just melt down at like 8 o'clock. And she's like, I got to finish my homework. I'm like, hey, babe, it's not time. Let's just go to bed. Right when we're stressed and when we're tired, that shows what's really in us. But the good news is Paul says that we don't have a fragrance. He says we carry the fragrance of Christ. And the truth is there's a difference between imitation and transformation. Imitation is fake. It's like, oh, hey, I'll just try to act like I have it all together. And I know there's a popular saying, and man, it's even permeated the church, you know, fake it till you make it. And I'm like, no. Faking is not worth it. It's just an excuse. Man, this one's going to be harsh, but I feel like the Lord just brought it to me. It's just an excuse to stay immature. I can fake it. I can play church. Or it's an opportunity to stay immature, to continue to play the victim, to continue to play other, you know, blame other people. No way. Imitation is fake. Transformation is real that says, man, I'm going to stay close to Jesus until his life naturally flows into mine. Yeah. Imitation is the cheap way out. Imitation is the easy way out where you just get to, you know, scroll on Facebook and you'll find someone that shares a reel or a scripture and you're like, oh man, that's good. That's my Bible for the day. You're faking it. If you get your word from somebody else, and that's all you get from the word is what somebody else has to say, you're faking it. You're going, hey, I'll just hear what they have to say. No way. You got to get alone with him. You got to be with him daily so that his life becomes yours. You go back to that idea of scent, you know, a campfire. You can't just spray on, not that they have it, but I'm sure some man probably invented it, campfire scent, right? Like, oh man, I just want to smell like a man. I don't know. But you can't fake that. Like, if you've been around a campfire, you know it. And then everybody else knows that you've been around it. You work in a bakery. You start, those smells start to absorb into your clothes, into your skin. You start to smell like that. You can't fake it. You can't walk in there, spray yourself with a bread cologne and walk out, and people are like, yeah, right? Because why? You're going to be just like Moses in the Old Covenant. What did it say that he went to the tent of meeting? And he was with the Lord, and his face would radiate. But eventually, dealing with all the people, his face would fade. Man, I'm glad we live in a new covenant for lots of reasons, but man, isn't it also great that if my face has faded, y'all aren't like, bro, you gotta go be in the tent again. Jeff, get back there. Don't be preaching to us right now. But we live in this new covenant that it says that it's never fading anymore. That this idea of spraying on that bread, that campfire cologne, eventually it's going to wear off. But if you're around it long enough, it begins to soak up and become a part of who you are. The more you're with him, you begin to carry what he carries. Peace will start to replace anxiety. Patience will start to replace frustration. And compassion will start to replace indifference. But not because you're forcing it, because he promises us in John 15, remain in me, and I'll remain in you, and you will produce much fruit. The more we are with him, the more we become like him. And the more we become like him, the more that we will do that he did. He says our lives are a Christ-like fragrance, rising up to God. Like I said, that was the New Living Translation, but nowhere did I find where it said that your intentions are a fragrance, or your beliefs are a fragrance. Your life as it is actually lived. Right? Don't you want to say, like, yeah, oh, hey, I believe in God too. Your life doesn't smell like it. Oh, I wanted to do that. I wanted to go and serve that person. Really? Because it didn't smell like that. What you actually do, the life that you actually live, is the fragrance that you put off. The primary way that your community will experience the aroma of Jesus is not by what you say, but by what you do. So why doesn't our community, right, not just our community of Adel, like, so where you get to just put this off on us as a whole, but like, why does your community, your home, your neighborhood, your place of work, the places where you shop, the places your kids' sports team, why do they not have that aroma? It goes back to that idea that we've reduced this idea of Christianity from transformation to information. We just want the checklist. Give it to me here. Quick, hurry up. Your 3 points. Move on. I've got other things to do today. That idea that it is so much easier to sit here and listen to a sermon, listen to me talk for, you know, whatever, a couple hours today. And then you're like, that's so much easier. So much easier to do that. Instead of in the middle of worship for it to just linger for about 2 minutes. Does that 2 minutes not feel longer than this 2 hours that I'm going to preach, it feels like? It does. Why? Because there's no information being.
That's good.
whatever said. But the Lord is trying to transform you, and that's a deeper work. It's awkward, right? Those 2 minutes that we stand there and it's quiet and we're like, hey, do they not know what song they're doing next? Did they forget? Did the lyrics guy not get them up there? What's going on? Why are we just standing here and lingering? What, this is weird, right? Right, because in that lingering, in that 2 minutes, he can do way more than he can do in the 2 hours that I'm going to speak today. See, I'm not even trying to be funny, just funny. In those moments, because why? We just want information. We want to write it down here, step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But sometimes in that lingering, there's no information that's being passed from him to us. It's just simple whispers. And then it's not do this 1, 2, and 3, but it's like, hey, just walk with me and I'll show you the rest of it. And we're like, yeah, but what does that mean? Like, just give me step one. Step one, just be with him. But it's so hard and it's so awkward because we just want, we want our list to do this week so that we can feel better about ourselves. But what the Lord is saying, why do we not carry that aroma? Is because we just want that information. We don't want to actually be transformed. We're too distracted. We live in this life, this culture where our lives are full of noise. Our phones are buzzing, our schedules are packed. There's constant input from all different places. And then in the middle of that, it's hard to cultivate a deep relationship with him. Transformation doesn't happen in a hurry. Fragrance isn't formed in passing, but it comes from that lingering. From slowing down long enough to actually be with him, to listen, to pray, to sit in his presence. Yes. And if we don't do that, we still carry something, but it won't be the aroma of Jesus. It'll be the aroma of busyness, of rush, of greed, of lust, of pride, of accomplishment, of performance. We'll carry something. And if we don't sit down long enough to be with him, it'll be the fragrance of the world. And man, y'all know how bad it stinks out there. You look at Jesus' life, so much of what he did happened in ordinary moments. Walking down a road, sitting at a table, drawing water from a well. These ordinary, everyday moments. But what I want you to catch is this idea. What if it wasn't just Jeff Hopkins saying this? What if it wasn't just one guy going, man, I'm going to do this. What if it was a church? What if everybody in here made this decision to go, you know what? That sounds like something I can get behind. Martin Luther, he said it one time. He said, I don't need 1,000 men. I need 10 men. If you give me 10 men who are in love with God and who are passionately following him, I'll change the world. Yeah. Now there's more than 10 here. But what if we just collectively go, you know what, that's what I'm going to do. I want the fragrance. I want the aroma of my life. Like when I walk into a room, that's what I want it to smell like. Can you imagine what would happen in this area? Can you imagine how your work would look different? And you're like, yeah, but you don't know, man. I work with Juan, and Juan is, yeah. I got Juan too, man. Like, as me and Milo were just driving to that track meet yesterday too, we began to have conversation, and it was this idea, you know, he was asking, well, if someone's mean, how do I handle that? And Milo's our deep thinker. He gets it from his mom. And like, I'm like, well, bud, if someone's mean to you, we're not mean back. Ugly will never make ugly pretty. Then we went to the whole Beauty of the Beast thing, whatever. Because that's where I can talk. I'm on that level. But this idea that when someone is ugly to us, they don't need us to be ugly back. They just need us to be who we've been called to be. And can you imagine if we did that? Can you imagine in your work at Kohl's when somebody's mad at you and they say something ugly to you, instead of responding with frustration and anger, you responded with what Christ would do? Can you imagine at the animal shelter? I mean, if you ever have a complaint, right? Maybe that happens once or twice. Can you imagine if instead of responding with anger, which I know you don't because I love you, but like, instead of responding with anger, you show them the love of Christ. How quickly that diffuses it. I mean, because honestly, when someone comes in hot, what do they want? They want to fight. And when you show you're not going to fight, a lot of times they get mad, right? But then you win them over. Can you imagine if we just decided that? My encouragement to you today is to stay close to him. Before you can even start thinking about your neighborhood, your lawn, your workplace, your kids' sports team, your house, your family, your spouse, before you can even go, man, they should have been here to hear this. Or they need to hear this. No, no. Be with him. Daily. Slow down enough. Don't rush through a devotional. Don't do it to just check off a box, but slow down long enough to be with him. This devotional that I'm doing, it's phenomenal. It's an app. It's called Lectio 365. It's phenomenal. It's like morning, noon, and evening. And there are days where I find myself, like, it sends you a reminder on your phone, and it's great, and it causes you to slow down, leads you through some prayer prompts and through some scripture, and then back to prayer. When I'm in a hurry, that notification on my phone, it irritates me. Because it points out that I'm going too fast right now, and I need to slow down. So I'll have to slow down, stop, and go through my app. It's like 5 or 8 minutes, 3 times a day. And it's a great reminder to continually to recenter, to stay with him, to stay close, and to stay close enough. What you carry into your community is formed in your hidden life with God. See your everyday spaces as assignment. You are not where you are by accident. Your street, your job, and your routine is an assignment. Every morning when you walk out your front door, heaven is throwing a victory parade through your ordinary life. You're being led captive in that procession, and heaven's going, here we are. Go get them. Every day, every assignment, instead of going, man, I've got to go to work today, or instead of saying, oh, I've got to go to the store, or oh, I've got to go to this neighborhood party, or I've got to go to this birthday party, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. What if you said, Jesus, what are you going to do in this moment? Because I want to join you. What if you saw your everyday tasks as assignments? not burdens. And the last one, do small things with great love. We often overcomplicate things, don't we? Like some of you guys, you type A, you're going to be going like a plan, walking out of here. Like, all right, here we go. Here's 9 steps to how I'm going to change my neighborhood, and it's going to happen. And we're going to start with big, grand, and we're going to start a church there, and all of these things. It's going to happen. I'm looking at you, Elda, right? And it's like, no. Hey, what if it's just small things with great love? What if it's something so simple as learning your neighbor's name? Start a conversation, bring someone a meal, check in on someone who's hurting, or offer to pray when the moment opens up. That's not big heroic things, is it? That's simple things. I use it as an excuse to go to Target again. I'm like, hey, babe, I'm on assignment today, all right? Like, Lord's got big things planned today. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to wander and I'll find it, all right? Like your everyday opportunities. Small things, a conversation can change someone's destiny. Don't overestimate a simple obedience. All right. Don't try to do everything. Do the one thing that he puts in front of you. Stay close to him. See your space, your routine as an assignment. Because when ordinary people begin to live like this, something shifts. Something fills the atmosphere. I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, would you just... You've spoken to us, and now would you just, like corporately, would you just speak to us individually right now? How would you like me to respond to this message? How would you like us to respond to this message? God, would you make your glory visible in us? And would you make your name known through us? Use us. We are instruments of your revelation. We submit to you. We surrender to you. We say we are perfectly fine as being led as captive. And let us carry the fragrance, the aroma, the perfume of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.